Tonight, as I continue to focus on grace again, I want us to look at growing in grace, how we grow accepting the grace and how we grow in God's grace. Now, to begin with, we need to understand something. You're never going to get any more love from God than you already have. Every one of us, when God loves us, he loves us unconditionally. And when he gives us the grace and when he gives us mercy, that grace is unmerited favor. So therefore, when God gives us that grace and we accept his grace, do you know that we're given grace before we accept grace? Do you ever think about that? That's why I'm become under conviction. Grace is given to us. God gives us every chance that we would ever possibly need to trust him and accept his son. Therefore, as the Lord says, when they stand before me, they will stand without excuse because I will have revealed myself to them. Meaning no one will stand with any excuse to God because he's the one that gave the grace. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look at what growth is and what it is not. Now, what I did on this one, I went ahead and if you'll notice as you go through, I went back and so I put my own little teaching thing on the printout that you have. So that you will be able to use that later on. As I always encourage you, take copies of them with you. Leave them laying around if you have a friend, a relative, or someone that any of the scripture you know might help them. Just leave it around. It's according to the personality you're leaving it for. Most of the time, it's best just to leave it and not say anything and turn it over to the Lord that they'll pick it up and read it. Growth is not how many meetings you're going to have. It's not how many services you're running in church, nor is it how many scripture verses you have memorized. Neither is it how many seminars that you've attended. The growth that Christ speaks of for the Christians is not the type of growth of what you do. It's the type of growth of what we allow Christ to do within us. It's the type of growth that we trust through faith that Jesus Christ, our Lord, will entrust us with that growth. You know, sometimes people, as they say, they blossom too early in life, and they end up getting overwhelmed with their success that they completely destroy themselves in that success. When we're talking about growing in Christ, we're talking about, Paul always warned him, don't choose someone too young because when you do that, then what he was amounting to, he said, they'll get the big head and they will follow themselves. Or, you know, they will think that they're just know a little bit more than anybody else. Very dangerous with the young ones. So, the meetings, the services you go to, the scripture verses you memorize, the seminars, that's not what growth is. Now, it's good that you know them. Don't get me wrong on that. That's great that you know them. But the truth that you know them is when you don't have to tell everybody that you know them. See what I mean? It means that the scripture that you have understood and remember in your spirit, then that scripture is exactly what you will pull out from your heart to share with someone that is hurting. I've learned this over the years, that what you do, especially to a non-believer, for an individual that is rough around the edges, what you do is you will share a word from God without using the scriptural verses and the where it is, the verses in the script. Yeah. Using that, maybe I taught too long today, you reckon? But when we use a verse and you know that you're getting ready to talk to a pretty rough personality, and so you just turn it around and you say it in a way that they can understand it. But it's still the Word of God. You paraphrase. Do not all of us do that? So many people were, they said, I'm against paraphrasing. That's what a preacher does. It said, I'm against you preachers using those modern language translations. You should be using only the King James, God's real Bible. And on those type of statements, it is sad for me because most of the scripture, and I grew up on the King James and love it. I love the poetry of it. But when I was using the King James in the pulpit a lot, I paraphrased it. That's what preachers do. We read the scripture, and then a preacher will go into, now, this is what God is saying, and how do we relate it to our life? We paraphrase it. So don't cut down everything, all the other different translations, just because we don't understand why that we would need it. Have you noticed the arrogance of some folk? Now you think of this. Well, if they're really saved, they would understand it. Well, a person that will say that doesn't understand it themselves, nor could they even read the original King James Version of the Bible. They could not even pick up on it to understand it. So you get it to God's Word in a manner that somebody can understand it other than you. The big sounding words and all of that does no good when you're trying to get the gospel across. Jesus didn't do it, and neither should we. Ephesians 4:22-24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The old that we focus on is what we used to be. Well, we say that a lot of times, don't we? You know, back in the old days, this is what I used to do. This is how we used to live. The old focuses on the way it used to be. The way it used to be was not all that glamorous, and every one of us know that. We try to sprinkle a little glamour over it as we grow older, thinking, I can't believe I was really that stupid in those days to do some of the stuff that I did. But then I look back and truly remember, and yeah, I was that stupid to do the stuff that I did. Okay, number one, put off the old. You got it? Put off the old. Look at some of our old ways of trying to grow. Number one was trying to grow by doing good. You become a Christian, and everybody says, now, this is what you ought to do. For one thing, you've heard me preach enough to know that somebody else has no idea of what you ought to do. In your relationship to Christ, you're calling by the Lord. So therefore, each one of us as individuals have that individual calling. Same Lord, but each of us worshiping the same Lord, but different callings. We have different personalities, different makeups, the whole thing, and God uses that. But Matthew 9:17 says, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Let me talk about that a second. The old that we talk about, of the old nature, is the old me, meaning individual who thought with the mind instead of the spirit. Now, If I then attempt to take what is spiritual and to believe that I can understand what is spiritual through my physical brain, what I'm doing is I'm putting new wine into old wineskins. The ideals of life, the way I've grown up in them, they're set up here. You heard we are set in our ways. I guarantee you, every one of us are set in our ways to a certain degree, not necessarily set on how we think, and yet that's part of it, but we're set in our own routines. We're set in our ways. The Lord is saying, now look, you can't take the Spirit I'm giving you to revive you and stick it in a mind that's going to lock that Spirit in and to where you think you have to do things to keep His Spirit, which is a gift from Him by grace, unmerited favor. So therefore, don't do that. Don't take my word and put it in your physical mind. Put it in your spiritual being. Each of us individually are a spiritual being. We are the spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. And I think I will go out of this world always preaching that because once I had ever really finally hit me what that meant, I can't shut up from saying it, hoping that we'll pick up on the focus of who we really are. The real us is a spiritual being. That's why you don't take that which is spiritual. You don't cast it before the hogs in the swine pen, do you? Didn't Jesus said you do that? You take my word and you throw it to the swine, they will push it into the mud. Root, what do they do? The root or the, yeah. And you get it down into the mud and then they'll turn and rend you. If any of you have been around pigs, and you've heard me say this before too, the meanest critters on the face of the earth. Any animal that eats its own is a pretty mean critter. Because when they get through eating their own, they're coming after you if you're a little boy. And as a little boy, I was smart enough to realize that, and they could call me chicken all day long. I wasn't getting in a pen with that sow. I didn't care what they said. Think of it. God says that's what we are out in life. See, He said, I'm going to give you the open door to my kingdom. I'm going to give you my word. Don't take my word and put it in the junk heap of your human existence. Put it in the spirit that lasts forever, for eternity. So, because if you do, the old body cannot handle it or will distrust it. But you in here will use it proudly. What Jesus was saying is this. Sometimes it looks like it. It feels that it will fit. It fits in the beginning, but there's no room for growth or for expansion. Remember, you think you got it. I remember when I first thought that I figured out God the Father, God the Son, the God the Holy Spirit. And the more that I thought I had it figured out, the more I realized I don't have it figured out. Think of this one. The free will. How can God know what we're going to do? Know that we'll be saved. Know everything about our life before time began. And yet, He calls it free will. You're going to have to wait till we get to heaven to figure that one out. Now, well, you won't figure it. Ask the Lord, okay? But only God can do that. You have the freedom, He says. Okay, sometimes it looks like if I could just do enough good things, I'm going to grow. Do you ever think about that one? When a new Christians first get saved, they want to do things. Okay, and that's great. Help them in a ministry. One thing you don't do, though, don't get them burned out. Sometimes you'll see a new Christian, that new Christian excited about studying or doing something, and then everything's pushed on them because the older Christians become lazy and say, yeah, let the young one do it. Let the young one do it. And pretty soon you look up one day and the young one's not in church. Couldn't handle it. Could not deal with the thought it could grow by doing things. You don't grow by doing things. You grow through the grace that God gave us to begin with and His faith. That will work, but there's no room for genuine change in it. There's no room for becoming all that God wants me to be. I can't grow just by doing more and more good things. Doesn't work. Good thing you do it, but that's not what helps you to go. Number two, trying to grow by keeping rules. Now, you'll hear a lot of folks on this one. I know you're a Christian, but you got to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, folks, Christianity comes into being through Christ, who says that He is the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. He's the fulfillment of the law. And knowing we got the law, God says, knowing that we couldn't keep it. It was a lesson for us to understand on our own. We can't keep the law, so therefore you cannot get to God. You cannot get to the kingdom by your own thought process or what you do by your own will. Hebrews 13:9. Your heart should be strengthened by God's grace, not by obeying rules. Pretty soon you'll think, I'm good at this obeying rules, therefore I deserve to go to heaven because I'm really good at rules. And people who have made those statements so often are still saying the very same thing in hell. That's religion. And religion has never worked, folks. In a religion, you will find that individuals will hop from one religion to another in order to find that ultimate peace they say they're looking for. In Christianity, by it not being a religion, it's a relationship. When you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, then why would I want to look at a religion? Religions fall. Christianity never falls, nor will it ever, nor will a Christian ever cease to exist with Christ. Remember the other day, I may have said it on Sunday, but it really means something that for us to know that when I look at my life and I look at the good times, and a lot of times we say the bad times far outweigh the good, that doesn't matter. Because you see, the good times is the only thing that lasts in heaven. All the bad times, all the hurts and everything, we'll never see again anyway. So enjoy the good times, folks. But you cannot produce growth through rules. What's the place of rules in the Bible? Listen, you might think grace is this way, as the jets that power the engine. The Ten Commandments sort of give us some flight plan idea, some direction, but the power doesn't come through rules. Rules can't produce growth. Power is always by the Holy Spirit for the Christian. God is saying, I've got a new way for you to live. I've got new things for you to do. Therefore, He speaks, I can only do the new things through my new spirit. Because my old spirit still wants to rebel. Christian, just before the fall, or the fall that you'll have back into the world, this will happen. You will think that you finally got it made. I understand exactly what God's talking about. I will not trip up again. That's the night before you fall apart. Soon as you think that you've got it whipped, it's proof you don't. Again, I always go back to my cigar. Now, I know that it would just be one little step over the line and I'd have one of those good-tasting critters. I can't believe I said that either. But I would. So what I do? I only sin a little by standing around somebody that's smoking it and smell it. Hey, have you noticed that we do that? And no matter what it is, would it? Yeah. Number three is trying to grow by feeling bad. Now, folks, I have met, and you have too, many people that love feeling bad. They just enjoy. If they feel good, they think something's wrong. So they love feeling bad. And if there's nothing bad going on, they'll make something bad happen. Romans 8:34. Who then will condemn you? Will Christ? No. For he is the one who died for us and came back to life again for us. I do not have to feel bad. I needed to feel convicted. Christ, when I feel convicted, I said, Lord, I admit my guilt. He takes the pain of that guilt. He takes the hit for me. Therefore, he says, you can never be condemned. God will never, ever hear of it because his son paid for it. He said he can never be brought into his presence. If I really heap the guilt on, maybe I'll get better. You heard that? Just logically, you can see why that won't work. If you feel bad about yourself, then you're not going to get better. You're just going to feel bad. We're trying to beat God to the punch. We're trying to say, God, I know you don't like what I'm doing, so I'm going to feel bad about doing it. I'm going to condemn myself, so somehow you won't condemn me. That's not what God intends. Trying to help God straighten you out. Folks, we're our own worst enemy anyway, and every one of us know that. If I don't grow by feeling bad about myself, if it doesn't work just to have a list of rules and doing good things doesn't cause it, what does? Put on the new. That's what works. Put on the new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That's accept the forgiveness. It's the new cloak that God is going to put around us through his son. Here's the new you, Larry. Wear it, okay? The old me will spend the rest of my existence in this human body fighting the new me, where I've been wrapped by the arms of Christ. The battle will rage continually. There will never be a time in our history on this side of heaven to where we won't be in battle and in conflict with this nature, human nature, and with the new cloak that Christ has put on us. But think of it this way. If Christ put the new cloak on me, if he's wrapped his arms around me through grace with his love, then I am kept by the arms of Christ. Now, the battle that rages in me and in you, the battle that we fight, and you know, like we're punching against the wind, as Paul said. He said, that's not what I'm not battling like a punch-drunk boxer. He says, I am fighting what is real, and that's the humanness as he was. You know, you have Christ, but you're still human. Each of us are. And despite what some try to tell you that they're not. Okay. The promise of the Christian life is the old has gone and the new has come. There it is. A couple of things about this new life that God wants to give to us. Number one, we don't have to achieve our new life. I don't have to make it work on my own. Newness is a creation of God. Don't we remember that when we first accepted Christ? That we have accepted him by that new nature, and we knew and we were happy and we felt that strength that it was going. He is a new creator. We don't have to make ourselves new. We just have to put on the new life he's given us. That means we've got to accept him. That's the accepting of the coat, of the cloak. Number two, we don't have to keep our new life. I don't have to hold on to it. I don't have to worry about my salvation. And if we did and do, as many professing Christians do, you spend all the time trying to stay saved instead of being about our Father's business. I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Therefore, all the faults, all the failures that I have to deal with concerning myself are not going to pull me down to the point to where I say, I give up. I cannot do this Christian stuff. I don't know how to live like a Christian. I'm your pastor, and I don't know what to tell you. The only way that you can live is to live as Christ has told you or led you to live, folks. Each of us are different. Each of us are called to all of those different type of callings or gifts. Use it to glorify God. But it's accepting Christ is not something you do. It's not something you live. Accepting Christ is being an individual who will allow Christ to indwell us. It's not my job to protect my salvation. It wasn't my job to find my salvation. If it were, then you would have had to keep the Ten Commandments and all the rules to make it to heaven. And I know this aggravates some listeners and all, but the fact is, on the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments had nothing to do with the Christian faith. It had to do with the Hebrew, the Jewish faith, not the Christian. I love them. I mean, it's great. The only thing is, every time I look at them, I haven't seen anybody that's kept them. I mean, it's good to strive for. But that would be by works, would it not? Okay. I don't have to hold on to it. Did I get that one? Colossians 3:3. Your old sinful self has died, and your new life is kept with Christ in God. Kept with Christ in God. Your new life is not kept by you. You hear that? You have no authority over the new life, but thank God, neither does Satan, and he won't mess with it. Old sinful self has died. Your new life is kept with Christ in God. You know, Satan just will not mess with Jesus. He's been whipped too many times. You know, when you're thrown out of heaven, you don't want to mess with the one who threw you out of heaven. But Satan says, I won't. I'll mess with his children. But that's why God hates sin. God hates sin because of what it does to us. That's why God hates sin. Okay, we don't have to achieve this new life. We don't have to keep this new life, but we do have to put on this new life. Again, see, the key is, do you believe? Have you accepted Christ? That's what we mean when we say accepted Christ. That's putting on the new life. To accept Christ means that I believe Jesus is exactly who he says he is, and I believe that everything that he's done and he said he's going to do, I believe that. That's putting on the coat. Thank you, Lord. I believe that. How many has he offered that cloak to, and how many that even friends you may have that have turned away from accepting it? Many people who will say, you know, I believe that, and it sounds, or I understand what you're saying, and it sounds real good, but I just can't believe that myself, when it, like you're talking about. Again, though, I don't want them believing like I talk about. Believe because of the conviction. We're not really comfortable taking off the old, are we? I don't like changing. You know, as I've said, I have no intention of ever wanting to learn any more about a computer than I already know. I don't want any more new programs. I don't want any of that stuff. I'm not going to change my email and all of that with the fancier ones, because I don't want to have to think to do it. I've reached a place to where I'll let my grandson tell me what I need to know about all that other stuff. So we're not really comfortable taking on the old, so we try to wear both of them, Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. That doesn't fit. You know, part of me, okay, Lord, I'm saved, this part, but I'm not saved in this part. So I'm going, that's like standing, you know, 1 foot here, 1 foot there, and the great depth is right beneath us. Doesn't work. You know, and the more I think of that, the more I see almost that focus that is taught by some people in different studies and all, that, you know, your old life, who you were, now is changed, and who you were now, you have changed who you were, but you didn't. Don't you still have the same bad thoughts? Or do you really think that anybody's going to believe you when you said, you know, ever since I accept Jesus, I've never had a bad thought in my mind? Well, nobody's going to believe that, because every one of us tried to lie to ourselves and tell us that ourselves. That doesn't work that way. Okay, be renewed in your mind. Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Who does the transforming? God. You do not do it, folks, into a new person by changing the way you think. Therefore, as we get older, we call it getting wiser. Now, age does not automatically equate to wisdom. I know that. You know it too. I've done a lot of stupid things. The older I get, and the more the stupid things that I do or say. Now, I cannot imagine me speaking out and saying something I shouldn't, but, you know, right, Jesse? That never happens at all. Okay. Here's the empowering step. God's changed the way we think. God did that. So I can see things as He sees them. You and I see ugliness. Have you ever had somebody ask you, I can't believe that we will be able to know from heaven when we get there who's saved and who isn't on earth, because there's no tears in heaven. So therefore, if we look back to heaven and we would see one of our loved ones that wasn't saved, we'd be sorrowful. Let me plant this one for you. Heaven is a place where we go, to where God allows us to see the true focus of sin and how sin destroys. It is the sin you will see that is detestable. And you will know why God detests it so much, because of what it does to His child. So therefore, and do I believe that people do see? Sure. I know the Bible teaches it. So why wouldn't I believe it? That's just like the Bible teaches extraterrestrials. And people start sending me emails. You've really stepped over the line, man. Well, and then you ask the question, do you believe in angels? Sure, I believe in angels. Extraterrestrial. Can't believe you're foolish enough to believe them then. So think of it. Do you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Came to earth, accepted the guilt of my sins, went to the cross, died on the cross, was buried and resurrected? Sure, I believe that. Okay, doesn't that sound a little odd to you from the human standpoint that you're going to believe that kind of stuff going on? If your daughter came to you and said that I have not had a relationship with a man, but I'm pregnant, are you going to believe it? No, that's right. Well, they didn't believe her either, if you'll remember. That's having a renewed mind. I can see things as God sees them. Okay. That's where the power is, becoming renewed in the spirit of your mind. It happens by grace. It starts by grace, and it ends by grace. Galatians 3:3, you began your life in Christ by the Spirit. Now, are you trying to make it complete by your own power? This is foolish, he says.